And now, it's time for the Talk of the Northwest, the 9 to noon show with Greg Hughes on Highland Radio.
Hello and a very good morning to you. 5 minutes past nine on this Tuesday, the 13th of May, 2025. How are you all keeping? I do hope you're very well indeed. We are broadcasting live as always from the northwest of Ireland and it is stunning. Blue skies since the break of dawn and it's going to stay like this for quite some time to come. So if you like this type of weather, thumbs up. If you don't, I'm afraid you're going to have to endure it with the rest of us. Anyway, we have a busy show. As Lee Gooch mentioned there, the housing minister was up in Donegal. He had been invited to come up. I know there was a broad welcome from people from all sort of political backgrounds to him making the effort to come up and to listen to, well, he first met with council staff, I believe, then met with councillors and went on then for a couple of visits around the county to get a sense of the defective block crisis. We'll play that interview out for you after the first ad break, get some reaction to it. 100% Redress Councillor Ali Farron will be joining us and others. And you can assess the interview yourself in relation to the defective concrete block scandal, because this is the man, Minister James Brown, ultimately is responsible for it. Bottom line is, though, the quick read, if you're on the scheme at the moment and you're waiting for the cap to apply to you, the increase in the cap to apply to you, it's going to be months, open-ended months, according to the minister himself. And it's going to also be quite some time, it would seem, before we see the review of IS465. Right, and there's people going to have questions living in social housing, and we also talked to him about building on the N56. The answers you'll be able to determine yourself from that. But we'll play that out in a bit. Going to look at the newspapers today. Have to say, obviously there's lots of news in the newspapers, but not a great deal of variance within. The Irish Times this morning, I thought this was interesting, comments from Hungarian Prime Minister Viktor Orban. He's criticised Micheál Martin for standing on the side of an empire after the Taoiseach denounced his willful abuse of the EU veto powers. And as I said, the comments are quite interesting, and I think the way he sort of frames Ireland and Ireland's position on some of this stuff would resonate with a lot of people living in this country. Mr. Orban, who has been in power since 2010, has frequently used veto powers, halting decisions that must be made by unanimous agreement, which have in the past delayed aid for Ukraine. He has threatened to use the veto mechanism to halt Ukraine's accession as an EU member state, which he has claimed would bankrupt Europe, saying this week, there is no Ukrainian EU accession without Hungary. Well, speaking to Euronews, the Taoiseach described Hungary's efforts to block the accession as outrageous. To my view, or in my view, it's essential that Ukraine becomes a member of the European Union for geopolitical reasons, he said. Well, Mr. Martin accused the Prime Minister of unreasonable exploiting the mechanism of the veto, saying Europe has made attempts to try and unblock these issues through mediation and engagement. But I want to go on to his response then. Where is that? I'll come back to that in a second. But effectively, he said Hungary sort of has always respected and had a kinship with Ireland and its independence, and that he's disappointed, the Hungarian leader was disappointed to see Ireland lose that to some extent. But I don't see those, they're not quoted in that article. Anyway, I was reading it myself somewhere else. I don't know why it wouldn't be in that article, but there you go. Opposition parties, this is in the Irish Independent, opposition parties have dismissed the idea of social media ban for children aged under 16, saying it's unfeasible and amounts to kite flying. Taoiseach Simon Harris has said serious consideration needs to be given to a ban and asked people's views on the idea on Instagram at the weekend. He said he would be seeking cross-party examination of whether Ireland could follow the Australian ban and believes the Oireachtas should work constructively on the issue. But Sinn Féin described his comments as kite flying and said a comprehensive study was needed first to take into account the views of mental health experts, school representatives and youth groups. If a ban is to be considered, then it should only be considered on the basis of empirical data. After consultation with experts in the field, the party's communication spokesperson, Joanna Byrne, said, I am unsure a complete ban would be technologically feasible, as the headline social media companies such as Google X, TikTok and Meta have may agree to ban under 16s, but there's an array of other platforms that teenagers use, such as gaming platforms and chat rooms. The difference is, gaming platforms and chat rooms actually have really quite good protections in there for children in terms of abusive language, swear words, etc. Whereby the other platforms are the Wild West, really, effectively, and anything goes. X is the biggest porn site on the planet. That's just an absolute fact. So any party that wouldn't want to see, or any individuals that wouldn't want to see us having a really strong look at restricting people of a certain age to platforms like TikTok, Snapchat, and X, for an example, it would concern me, to be honest with you, because kids don't need to be in these spaces. And you know, some of the stuff that really, really freaks me out is that, you know, these 14, 15-year-olds, they're on the likes of TikTok, and you know, look, sometimes you'll stumble across a video and look how many of some of these videos are favorited. You know, it's absolutely unbelievable what is going on. What adults are doing, archiving this kind of stuff. You know, people really need to be fully aware of what's going on. And I think they really need to look at getting 16-year-olds off these people under 16 or under 15 or whatever the age might be off these platforms. And to compare it to gaming is I think, silly. Because, as I say, you know, there's quite robust banning systems and word screening on the likes of Xbox, PlayStation and others. Just returning to the learner driver delays, this is in the Irish Daily Mail. Aspiring motorists are waiting close to a year to take their driving tests as waiting lists reach their highest level since the pandemic. And remember, they're supposed to be coming down. Weren't we supposed to be hiring loads of people to come in and reduce them? They're higher now than they were during the pandemic. New data from the Road Safety Authority shows 83,000 applicants were waiting for a test in April, a significant increase from the same month last year where there were 58,860 on the waitlist. The RSA is targeted, or has a target of 10 to 12 weeks from the moment a learner driver books their test until the date that they're invited to choose a time slot. 10 to 12 weeks. Are you having a laugh? However, there's now an average of 27 weeks of a wait, and even the least busy centres are almost double that target. The last time it was within target nationally was almost 3 years ago in July 2022. So you know exactly what it's like out there. There's bound to be, every household listening has someone waiting on a driving test or know someone in their, you know, wider family circle or friend circle that are waiting on a driving test. The delays are ridiculous, especially in a rural county like ours. Father Ted writer Graham Linehan vowed to continue criticising trans rights as he denied hate crime charges in a UK court. This is in The Sun. The five times BAFTA award winner, 56, pleaded not guilty to harassment and criminal damage. He's accused of abusing trans activist Sophia Brooks on social media and smashing her phone in October. Sophia Brooks is a female identifying trans. She was born a man. They are described by prosecutors as hate crimes, but Linehan remained defiant after his court appearance yesterday. He told supporters outside Westminster Magistrates Court, I have pleaded not guilty and will defend this case at trial. In doing so, there is far more at stake than my own name. For 6 years, ever since I began defending the rights of women and children against a dangerous ideology, I have faced harassment, abuse and threats. I have lost a great deal, but I'm still here and I will not waver in my resolve. That trial will go ahead on September 4th. On a far more serious note, and this is in the Irish Daily Mail, the Gaza Strip will likely fall into famine if Israel doesn't lift its blockade and stop its military campaign. Food security expert said in a stark warning yesterday. Nearly half a million Palestinians are facing possible starvation, living in catastrophic levels of hunger, and 1 million others can barely get enough food, according to findings by the International Food Security Phase Classification, a leading international authority on the severity of hunger crises. The group said there is a high risk of outright famine if circumstances don't change. Now, often when we talk of famine, it's about, you know, it's certain countries, climates, and what have you. This is a neighbouring nation stopping food going in to another country and forcing the starvation of I've seen some of the pictures of children, and they're skin and bones. Just that's all they are, skin and bones. I find it, whatever about the leadership of a state, you know, like, I just would hope that if Ireland were doing this to Wales, for an example, that even if the government were insisting on doing it, that the Irish would rise up and say, this is not acceptable. You can't do this to another group of human beings. I'm not blaming all Israeli people, but I mean, is there a mass opposition within Israel to what they're doing to these kids next door to them? Because I would hope that we would go, you can't do that, and overthrow the government and come up with some fairer solution. But Israel has banned all food, shelter, medicine and any other goods from entering the Palestinian territory for the past 10 weeks, even as it carries out waves of airstrikes and ground operations. Gaza's population of around 2.3 million people relies almost entirely on outside aid to survive, because Israel's 19-month-old military campaign has wiped away most capacity to produce food inside the territory. And lastly, some words from the Pope directed at journalism. It's in the Irish Daily Star. The new Pope has asked journalists to gather the voices of the weak who have no voice. Leo XIV spoke passionately to a huge crowd and invited reporters and dignitaries inside the Vatican yesterday in his first news conference. At the start, he quipped that he hoped everyone would stay awake to the end of his speech. He was interrupted several times with applause, cheers and chants of Viva Papa as thousands crammed into the huge auditorium to hear the new American pontiff. The hall is located right next to the lodgings he stayed in until he was elected on Thursday. He said, "Let us disarm communication of all prejudice and resentment, fanatism and even hatred. Let us free it from aggression." Fanatism. I can't pronounce that word. It's fanatics, but fanatism. Okay, I presume it's fanatism. All right, so that was a run through the newspapers this morning. We'll be back with more after this short break. Yesterday, at relatively short notice, I think people are only advised on Friday, the new housing minister, James Brown, came up to Donegal for a series of appointments and meetings and what have you. And we caught up with him at the old courthouse in Lifford and asked him a few questions. Here's the interview. Why was it important, Minister, for you to come up to Donegal today?
So when I was appointed Minister for Housing, one of the key issues I knew that was affecting people was the defective concrete blocks situation. A lot of families in Donegal were very much devastated as a result of the circumstances they were going through no fault of their own. So I wanted to come up to Donegal to meet with the community, to meet with representative groups, to get a good understanding of how the progress has been made to date. Some very significant progress has been made with over 500 commencements and 88 completions, and how we can drive that on even more quickly, but also to get an understanding of the outstanding issues for those families in the community. We have legislation to go through in the coming months in the Oireachtas to strengthen up the supports that are there. So really get that sense. I'll be meeting with the officials from the County Council, meeting with County Councillors, the cross-council group in relation to this, also with a number of residents, for example, from Ellen Park, from families who feel that their properties were downgraded, and with local representatives as well. So really get a whole round comprehensive approach, and that's why I'm here in Lifford and County Donegal.
Well, it was last October, I think, that the government agreed a 10% increase in the defective concrete block scheme. Homeowners already on the scheme, they're facing shortfalls, some have told us, of over €40,000. When can we expect
expect that change to actually take effect?
So that was a very important decision by the Cabinet, and I understand people's frustration. It was made last October, but then we had a general election and several months to form a government, so unfortunately that has delayed getting that legislation passed, and that's little comfort for those families, I know that, but unfortunately there is a process here. So I intend to drive that legislation now through as quickly as possible over the coming months so that people can have the benefit of that 10%.
So it will take months, you believe?
The reality of any legislation, there's 10 stages in the Houses of the Oireachtas. That's the boring part, but unfortunately there is that there. But I've no doubt that everybody within every party will be anxious to get this through as quickly as possible. It is tied in with other legislation as well that needs to be looked at in relation to the direct effect of concrete blocks here in Donegal and across the rest of the country as well. We do have the new NSAI recommendations from the Department of Enterprise. They're being reviewed as well, and I think those recommendations will require legislative change as well. So there's a few moving pieces going on there.
Have you any idea when the review of IS 465 will be completed? Any timeline at all?
Again, my understanding is from the Department of Enterprise, they want to do this as quickly as possible, but there does have to be a consultative process, and that's so everybody can feed into the recommendations that will come out of that. But again, I think, you know, our role here is to follow the evidence, and that's what we'll be doing.
There is frustration at timelines on this. You might be aware there's hundreds of homeowners who years ago were told by their engineers that the homes needed to be demolished, but the housing agency, what some have described as a desktop exercise, overturned that for other options such as, you know, outer leaf and what have you. And this doesn't factor in what we know now, the causes of this, yet to be formally established by IS 465. But with all that in mind, you know, 200 odd families, many of them appealed as far back as October 23, and they've heard nothing from the housing agency. It's that kind of sort of delay and lack of communication that seems to be driving a great deal of the frustration. We as humans are really quite good at dealing things when we know what we have to deal with.
No, absolutely, and I think you're 100% correct. When we know there's a pathway there, there's timelines, it can remove an awful lot of frustration. And again, I think the scheme did take a little bit of time to get up and going, and the appeals process has also taken a bit of time. We've seen significant progress now in terms of commencements, but what we want to do now is see the appeals being dealt with quite quickly. They will start very soon, and I have no doubt once they start, we'll be processed quite quickly. I'm working closely with Deputies Pat Cope-Gallagher and Charlie McConnell up here, but also with the senators. You have Senators Niall Blaney and Senators Nicky Bradley and Manus Boyle, and with TDs from the opposition parties as well, because we want to get the best result we can here. So I hear people's frustrations. I'm here to really get a better understanding of myself, so I can ensure when I go away from Donegal, where I am this evening, that I have the information I need to drive this on now as quickly as possible.
You will also hear calls for social housing and progress in that regard. Those commencements you talk of don't include the hundreds, if not thousands, of people in social homes waiting for news of what might happen to them. Are we still at a listening stage, or have you any news in relation to that?
Well, that's why, again, I'm here in Donegal to engage with Donegal County Council. I'm relatively new in the role, and I want to make sure that the steps we take now are the final steps that are needed, and whether that's people's private homes or whether it's social housing, that we get the right decisions made now, so we are not here again in another year looking at another review or other steps.
Well, with that in mind and with respect, this kind of feels like we're almost behind where we might have been with the previous housing minister. Are you taking a specific interest in defective concrete blocks, with a view to maybe addressing some of the obvious failings, such as a family with children with additional needs wishing to build on the same site whilst living in their existing property? Common sense stuff that doesn't seem to make sense. Are you open to looking at stuff in the past that was, you know, we said we couldn't do and potentially doing it?
Well, I got a very comprehensive briefing from Minister Dara O'Brien on my appointment, but again, that's why I wanted to come up to Donegal, one of my early acts in as Minister for Housing, to talk to the people who are affected, the families, the communities, the homeowners, and also their representatives, and hear from them in terms of how the scheme is working, what else can be looked at, and then also engage with the other departments, the Department of HSE, for example, who can help in the these types of situations as well, so we can ensure that people are looked after as best as possible. But at the same time, a scheme that's there, get it moving as quickly as possible so people can have more commencements and get the results they need, so they can have a homes that they can live in, their kids can grow up in, and they can feel safe in.
Locally here, there's quite an objection to the TAI banning the building of houses on the N56. It's an arterial route that runs throughout the entire county. You know, there are families there that have the resources, want to be able to build like other people have been able to do in the past, but they can't because of the National Development Plan. Is this something that you'd be prepared to look at? Because it seems to be the will of the council and, of course, the people, that there could be some flexibility there.
No, look, any situation will be looked at. I come from a rural county myself with a lot of national and regional roads, so I know that real frustration. As I say, I deal with it as a rural TD, so I do. There's a lot of moving parts there. In particular, road safety is very important, and how that might affect, you know, people being able to build on roads and any particular roads. But look, it comes under the Department of Transport, but I certainly engage with the Cabinet Minister there and see what can be looked at. I know it is being looked at. As I say, it came up in the programme for government that those types of issues will be considered. It is a rebalancing act. People, you know, in my view, should be able to build in their communities on land they own. We also have to be very conscious of road safety as well, and the number of people whose lives have been lost on the road, and how we ensure that people can have that right to be able to build where they need to build in their communities without risking road safety. I think in an awful lot of cases, you can square that circle, and it's something I'd be anxious to see reviewed.
Two more brief questions. Housing, building in general, you know, often it's about the infrastructure as much as anything when targets are being set. You know, you would know Milford here, for an example, is under a hosepipe ban at the moment because of the poor water infrastructure in that area. One of the biggest problems in ramping up the building of houses and in counties like Donegal is the available infrastructure to service those housing needs. And, you know, there are those that feel Uisce Éireann don't do enough in that regard in terms of water and sewerage. Is that a real problem that's perhaps not given enough attention when we talk about the housing crisis?
So I think in the programme for government, it's very clear significant funding will now be given to infrastructure. That includes Uisce Éireann and ESB networks as well, so that we can see the infrastructure put in place. We need a lot more homes to address the housing crisis. That also means the infrastructure being put in place, including from Uisce Éireann. A significant amount of additional funding will be given to Uisce Éireann under the National Development Plan. But that will also be ring-fenced for water and wastewater treatment for the delivery of homes. Up to now, Uisce Éireann have been very much focused dealing with the issue of legacy issues of environmental issues right across the country, and their regulator is Environmental Protection Agency, and a lot of their work has been around conservation. But we will be giving them very large funding to ensure that the infrastructure will be put in place, because we need that infrastructure there so we can deliver the homes we need where we need them.
Finally, the third, fourth, maybe even the fifth housing minister have asked the question of when is the report into alleged planning corruption in Donegal going to be published? It's 8 years on now. As I say, you're just the latest in a long list of ministers that I've put this question to. Are you reviewing it? Are you prepared to publish it?
Well, it is on my list. I do have it. It's something I am reviewing. And once we have that review completed, we'll then see where we go from there with it.
Okay, so just before the break, we heard from the Housing Minister. Amongst the councillors meeting him yesterday was Councillor Ali Farron of the 100% Redress Party. Suppose in the first instance, credit's where it's due. He came up to Donegal, he met with council staff, he met with councillors, and he met with effective homeowners. That is a positive step.
It's a massive step, to be fair, Greg, I think. You know, we thought, when I was chatting to you on the way in yesterday, we were saying, is he coming with something? He came with nothing, really. But I would imagine he came, you know, with a fear that he would, you know, that he would get a lot of abuse, that he would be, you know, that we were all up here mad in the head wanting to get at him. And I think he was made more than welcome. And I think, as a result, he listened. I think, you know, he is 12 weeks in the job now. We, obviously, as the redress party, we would have wanted him here the first week. But, you know, he came yesterday and spent quite a while in Lifford Now, I would love them to be going around my area or around any show and see the, you know. But as a first step, I think it's a start. Now, how did you, you asked them a lot of questions going by that last interview, and you got nearly the same answers as we got. You know, he committed to nothing.
The how do you assess it, though? Like, there's two ways of looking at it, I would say, objectively listening. Either he is not au fait with the situation at all, or he is, but he wants to start with a clean sheet and hear directly the issues and address them. So it's A or B or something in between.
Well, my reading of it is that he's a lot wiser today than he was when he came here. You know, it's all very fine reading and getting up to speed down in Dublin. Like, he came, he sat across the desk from me and all the other defective concrete block councillors. He met with his Fianna Fáil party councillors. And to be fair, the last minister probably let them down as much as he let anybody down by not coming. So, you know, he built bridges a lot yesterday. I was able to look into his eyes, and we had interactions. You know, we were human, and he now can see that the people. And after our defective concrete block, group met him, he also met the Mike Action Group or MAG. He met the downgrade homeowners, and I had the privilege of sitting in on that meeting. And you know, them people poured their heart out.
Well, let me ask a direct question, because there wasn't a direct answer to the question I put to him. Say, for instance, in relation to the downgraded homeowners, you know, they've got appeals in with the housing agency who downgraded them at a desk in Sligo. They've appeals in since October 23, is it? You know, unacceptable delays. His answer to me effectively is that, you know, there are delays. Was he able to give any?
No.
Okay.
No. Listen, the one thing I think that he committed to was to listen, or two things, and he committed to coming back. Mm-hmm. But now, he didn't say he was coming back in 2 weeks' time, a month's time. He didn't even commit to meeting, you know, the likes of MAG or the downgraded or ourselves at any time soon. But he did commit, you know, he committed to nothing else. You know,
like, just say, for instance, in relation to the legislation, you know, it was agreed last October that there would be a 10% increase. Those coming onto the scheme now get that increase, as far as I understand, but those who are already on it don't, because legislation has to be introduced. Now, it's amendments to legislation. That's going to take months. But we know in recent history, when it was very pressing, legislation can be passed in a moment. We know in terms of when something's being agreed, certain elements of the process can be truncated or removed altogether. So some might feel, if there was actually a new political will and a new political way, the first thing you would do is use the same mechanisms that were used through COVID, for an example, and fast-track this legislation. That would be a very early win. But no, it's months. It's the system's slow. It's drawn out. It's complicated.
But that's probably the political answer that he's supposed to say anyway. Let's be honest. You know, the commit to nothing. But, however, there was five TDs, Donegal TDs, in that room yesterday. And Pádraig McLaughlin spoke up and said that the opposition would certainly not block or hinder in any way the previous legislation that was worded being pushed through the Dáil ASAP. But I think it was Marty or Lisa pushed them big time on a date, and no date was given. Like, we expected, and we would love to see it done before the summer recess. I wouldn't say it's a month.
Well, it can't be. It's months and months, and it's tied into other legislation, which I don't understand. Decouple it, fast track it. That would be, as I say, if I was housing minister, that would be an early win. I would be able to, you know, you would hope you'd be fit to deliver that. So, you listening to the interview, he understands, or if he doesn't understand, he wants to listen.
Well, he understands after yesterday.
Does that though? Because we don't need, you know, we don't need ministers for understanding. We need ministers for housing. You know, he understands the problem with planning on the N56. That's grand, but you know, it's also he's a legislator, a very senior politician on very good money. Do you get the impression now that he will take that knowledge with him and make changes, such as I put to him, being able to build alongside the house that's existing if it's essential? You know, simple little stuff.
We found out over the last year that simple things like the side-by-side and all them things, they're simple to me and you. And unfortunately, in legislation, they're not as simple. So I think he listened. I genuinely don't know. Again, I would be more afraid when he goes back to Dublin until he goes back to his senior civil servants. What will he be allowed to do? I would love to get the opportunity to meet them in the same environment as we met the minister yesterday. Because at the end of the day, he's a human being. He has two ears on him and he listened. And what will come out of it, we'll have to wait and see, Greg. The way I see it.
All right, stay there. Councillor Martin McDermott is chair of the council's defective blocks committee. He was in the meetings as well and met with the minister separately. Councillor McDermott, what's your takeaway from yesterday's meeting? Yes, it's positive he came up. Yes, he was in listening mode. He didn't rush. He was here for quite some time. But beyond that, what have you taken from this meeting, this visit to the county?
Morning, Greg. Morning, Ali. Well, look, as you said, Greg, it's important that the minister came up and spent the time with everyone yesterday. And he spent from about 1:30 to about 10 o'clock last night in the county, which is a positive. And we had an opportunity to put to him the issues that we're having, the problems that we're having. And this was one of the big problems that we have to deal with is the timelines that it's taking to get a number of these issues that we've been pushing for since probably going back as far as October for the 10% increase and the 8% increase in rate per square foot, and a lot of other issues as well. But it's the timelines that really are very, very difficult to take when you're 6 or 7 months down the line and still the legislation is not in place. We emphasised that to the minister. He certainly took that on board.
Did you get any further insight into the drag here in terms of getting the amendments over the line that need to be gotten over the line? Did you get any further insight into timelines and what the delays might be?
I suppose there was a few drags in that. One drag was the general election, where we didn't have a government set up to the end of January. And then a new minister in place. The department officials were there yesterday as well. And that is something that we have to keep the pressure on department officials to make sure that they have their work done and that they have this legislation ready, wrote up and ready to go. The department officials are saying that legislation for the 10% is near enough ready to go, but it will have to go through, as he explained to you, 10 levels within.
But we've seen that bypassed in the past, though. You know, I mean, that can be overcome if the will is there. We know that because we've seen it happen.
And to be fair, I think yesterday the will was there from all political parties to make that happen. And I think that was said at a meeting that, you know, when that legislation, if the minister wants to push that legislation and try and get it through the Houses of Rochtas as quick as possible, that the opposition wouldn't stand in the way of that, that they would let that through without.
So did he give a commitment to that point to say, okay, then, I will make that effort, I'll try and do that?
He certainly did. Said that he would make that effort, and after we were finished last night, we had an opportunity to speak to him for a few minutes, and I said that to him. And he said that would be something that he would certainly be working on once he gets back to Dublin this week and try and push that forward so that hopefully our own defective concrete block committee will be meeting the department within the next couple of weeks. And hopefully at that stage, maybe they will have some answers for us as to how and when and what date that we can see that legislation passing.
What about those in social housing that are you know, they might feel that they're not forgotten, but they might feel they have been forgotten, that nothing seems to be moving for them. Did he give you any stronger commitment than the comments he made to us, which effectively said he was aware of it?
Yeah, well, the social housing scheme is something that both the department and our own council, our own executive, have been working on over the last, particularly very heavy over the last 6 or 7 months to get how that scheme is going to work for social houses. There's been a lot of engagement over the last number of weeks on that. The department are saying that that legislation for the social homes will be ready to go to cabinet within the next, well, they're saying within the next 4 to 6 weeks. Again, I would take that with a pinch of salt, because the social scheme has been discussed, going back to July of 2023 when the new enhanced scheme came in. We were told at that stage that legislation for the social scheme would be in before the end of that year, at the end of 2023. We're now in the middle of 2025 and we still don't have the social scheme passed. We got going back about this time last year, they did issue a draft of the social scheme to us. That draft was out for consultation. Our points were given in to the minister at that time, Darrell O'Brien, and the department officials in relation to the social scheme. The council put in their issues that they foreseen with the social scheme and redoing social houses. So that was all done about a year ago, and we're still a year down the line with no social scheme. So, look, we made that very clear to the minister yesterday as well. All parties made that very clear to the minister yesterday that, you know, the social scheme is certainly lagging very, very far behind here, and it needs to be prioritised, and that needs to get to cabinet as quick as possible.
Do you have the do you have confidence in this minister to be able to take on any resistance he might encounter from the high-ranking civil servants in the housing department? Do you believe he has the tenacity to do that?
Yeah, I certainly do. I think he's someone that listened yesterday, someone that took it on board, and someone that had a good insight into what exactly is going on. I think that, you know, and Ali was there for our meetings yesterday, and, you know, every councillor put on the county jersey yesterday for Donegal and for the homeowners. We worked together, we fought together to make sure that we got our points, the most important points, across to the minister and his officials. And the same with the Mike Action Group and the Downgraded Homeowners. They, again, met the minister and put their points across excellently well to make sure that he left this county on no uncertain terms, that the issues that we are dealing with every day, the ones that we have been pushing for over the last, particularly the last year, needs to be resolved, and that the timelines that it takes to get these resolved is just too long.
All right, thanks very much, Councillor Martin McDermott. But, you know, it's another year. It feels like it's another year. We're heading to, by the time summer recess is over, Ali, you know, this government's going to be, you know, 20% through its lifespan, if you know what I mean. And there's this sense that, you know, we should be far further on than a minister trying to get a grasp of the situation so he can go back to Dublin and try and work on it. You know, those who are actually affected by this are probably going to think, oh, more waffle. You know, and we can understand that, right, I think. But you are you optimistic? I don't want to put emotions in your head or words in your mouth, that this is a step in the right direction, or is this just really another holding pattern? Kick it down the line for 6 months. Can we really give out for another 6 months? Because we've been told it's going to be months before legislation comes. IS 465 is going to be next year. Potentially could be late 26 for all we know. You know, like, I do have to think on of those that are living in these crap houses.
Well, I am one of them. So
I think I'm on you too, don't get me wrong. Yeah,
living in a defective community. I'm speaking to you today from a defective community centre. So I know all about this.
No, I'm not trying to educate you. I'm just asking.
You know, do I think it's going to be fast? No. But, you know, I genuinely believe, you know, the four TDs that was in there today and there yesterday, and two of them were the Fianna Fáil TDs. And I genuinely believe, you know, they've been around a long while, but I think they got a bigger education yesterday than they ever got before. Especially from the ladies, the Downgrade homeowners and Mike. You know, you'd be hard not to act on what you heard yesterday, in my opinion.
Okay. I mean, those affected by it have two choices. They can have faith that this government can will achieve what they're saying they will through the housing minister, or listen and do something. Or they say, no, we're giving up. We're just going to wait to see if a different party can get into power and a different approach. But each individual's going to have to make up their own mind.
People in this country haven't time to wait. You know,
I know.
There's houses crumbling as we speak.
But that's what they're being asked to do.
Hmm.
Okay, well, we'll monitor it. He's been up here. There's a lot of stuff on the record. We have no doubt that he knows precisely now the issue, the key issues in terms of, you know, those that have been downgraded, those that are waiting on the cap to be lifted for them, social homes, and what have you. So we can do at this point is wait. Ali Farron, for the moment, thank you. Bye-bye. Take care of yourself. Right. 086 60 25,000. That's the WhatsApp and text number, by the way. I'm going to be back with more after we take a break. A Donegal County Councillor is tabling a motion at today's Letterkenny Milford Municipal District meeting urging that the council consider holding any planned public gatherings going forward in the town parks and not in Letterkenny itself. Good morning to you, Councillor McBride.
Good morning, Greg. How are you?
I am good. So are you talking protests and demonstrations?
I'm not. What I'm talking about, I'm actually going to propose an amendment to my own motion. I'm going to take out the town parks and put in any other suitable location in Letterkenny. And I suppose going back to Saturday the 3rd of May, we had a pro and an anti-immigration rally in Letterkenny. And while I acknowledge that everybody has the absolute right to protest, I think it caused massive disruption in Letterkenny, particularly on the, you know, the main street and the businesses in the vicinity of the main street. And these businesses are ratepayers to Donegal County Councillor, to Donegal County Council. They're taxpayers to central government. And, you know, they have to be allowed to trade freely, especially on Saturdays, you know, bank holiday weekends, because Saturdays are normally one of the busiest days for shopping in Letterkenny.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the spirit of my motion.
It's the whole idea, though, of protest and demonstration that maybe it will inconvenience, maybe it will disrupt. You can't, can you, try and tell people who are passionate about something, oh, you have to go and do it over there. They won't follow that directive. Are you saying the water protests, for an example, that went down through the streets of Letterkenny, if they were to take place next week, would instead happen in another suitable location? I mean, that's not very democratic, is it?
I think they can take place in other locations around the town. I think, you know, when we look at things like, you know, events like the 10K, there is alternative routes that can be put into place. I think, you know, they would still have a fairly strong impact. I mean, most of these marches and stuff like that are all covered, you know, by the media, by the newspapers, by television, and by radio people like yourselves. And I think, you know, the people who want to protest still get their opportunity to protest, and the media put out their story for them. And I think that, you know, we have to protect the business people around the main street in Letterkenny. I'm in Letterkenny a long time. I think you know the town very well yourself, Greg. And people are struggling and businesses are...
Have you done this? Are you proposing this motion in consultation with Letterkenny Chamber?
I haven't talked to Letterkenny Chamber directly about it, but there was an article in the Donegal News, I think it was on the Thursday, was it? After the protest, where they're... the Chamber themselves have, you know, highlighted the issues and the problems that it caused for their members in the town of Letterkenny.
I understand, but the reason I ask that question is because what they are seeking is more consultation from Gardaí. They never called for protests to be banned from Letterkenny Main Street. So I'm just wondering, where did you come up with this idea that you believe that people's right to free assembly because we live in a democracy. We have the right to free assembly, and we have the right to protest, and we have the right to demonstrate. And sometimes that involves disrupting people, whether we like it or not. I'm just wondering, is this a solo run that you've come up with yourself, or is other people also endorsing this and suggesting that you should be doing this?
I've had other businesses that are not members of the Chamber of Commerce approach me about the issue. And I believe myself, and I said it at the very start, there's everybody has the absolute right to protest. But I honestly don't think that the people that are protesting want to impact on people's livelihoods and lives. I honestly do not think that. But I think, you know, the emergency services, I'll raise this today in the Chamber in Letterkenny. I think, you know, in Garda Síochána, the Chamber of Commerce, the emergency services, all these people need to sit down and look at it and figure out where is the best place to have it. Give everybody their chance to protest. But don't close down Main Street.
But just respectfully, that's not fair. I don't think that's how it sounds a little bit unconstitutional to me in our right to free assembly. But listen, we'll see.
Greg, if I could just maybe highlight this here. The main street on our capital city in Dublin is O'Connell Street. And there's never any marches on O'Connell Street in Dublin. They use an alternative route in the city for marches. And we've been up there before ourselves, and I've been a member of the people that went up when we protested about whenever the defective concrete blocks, the mega group went up there to protest. But, you know, there was a route set down for us, and we were happy to fall into line with that and march up to the dais, you know, from our starting point on the route that was prescribed for us. And I think, you know, this is not about stopping anybody from doing anything. I think it's a 1-1 for everybody.
Okay.
It continues to allow the people that want to protest to go out there, but it also helps the people that's in business to try and keep their businesses open, and particularly not to lose a Saturday of a bank holiday weekend. And I think this can be achieved, and that's the spirit that brought the motion under and bringing the motion into the council on today.
Okay, and just to be clear, if it was a defective block process protest or a cancer services protest, the same rules would apply, not on the main street?
Well, I would imagine it's across the board.
Okay.
I don't think it would be a member of a defective concrete block. A protest would want to close down anybody's business for a full day on a Saturday or any other group. I think, you know, people realise that these people make their living. They employ people on the main street of Letterkenny and the vicinity of the main street. And I think they deserve fair play. They are ratepayers and they are taxpayers.
Okay, Councillor, I must leave it there. We're right up against 10 o'clock. Thank you very much indeed. That's Independent Councillor Michael McBride. What do you think of his proposal?